Well, it's my honor tonight to introduce one of my good friends, Pastor David Hall. He's been here before. His ministry is such a blessing. Him and his wife, Donna, they pastor Revival City Church in Adelaide, South Australia. And David, Pastor David, he travels the world ministering at conferences, at churches, at youth conferences, just all over. And I tell you what, he flows in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love to hear him teach about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is so important for our everyday life. Amen. And you know, he sees people healed and saved and just set on fire with the Holy Ghost. Lots of signs, wonders, and miracles accompany his ministry. So tonight we're going to be super blessed and enjoy a wonderful time of ministry from Reverend David Hall. So let's give him a big Rhema Bible Church welcome.
I didn't know what to do then. How y'all doing? Are you good? Wednesday night church. It's the service where the real Christians come. Not like those ones on Sunday, the pretend ones. These are the real ones. When the rapture happens, we're going first. Actually, now that I say that, I'm from Australia, which is 16 hours ahead. So when the rapture happens, we are actually going first. So we'll let you know how it goes. You've got 16 and a half hours to get your lives right and get ready to meet him. How many know Jesus is coming back? Man, what a privilege. Last time I preached here, I was so nervous. I was so nervous because this is like you shouldn't really call this Mecca, but you know what I mean. This is like ground zero for the message of faith and Pentecost and what God's doing. And how many know that you're part of an incredible church and you're blessed and you're favored? You know, if I lived in Tulsa, I'd come to this church. I've only been to one other one. It was pretty boring, so I'd come to this church. No, I'm just teasing. It was okay. But I feel like God wants to do something tonight, and I'm just so honored to be here. And I know they're not here tonight, but Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, aren't you so grateful that they're your pastors? And what an example they've set. They've just done it so well for so long, and I'm so grateful for them. And of course, Pastor Craig and Pastor Don and Pastor Denise. I love the whole family here, and I'm just so honored to be here. And it says in the Bible somewhere that every church in America should let an Australian preach at least one time every now and then. So here I am. If you don't understand what I'm saying, just pray in the Holy Ghost and I pray you get the interpretation. If you have a Bible, let's go to the book of Joel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Joel. That's a joke. It's in the Old Testament. Who brought their Bible to church? If you have an iPhone, you can use that. If you have a Samsung, they don't work too well. The book of Joel. And I want to read just two verses out of the book of Joel, and then we'll jump into the book of Acts. I'm going to preach short, only 75 minutes. That's not true. It's just 70 tonight. It's Wednesday. You know, there is a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. You do know that, right? Joel chapter 2, and I want to have a look at verse 28. And it says this, and this is probably the best known prophecy that Joel, I think in America, you might call him Joel, is that right? Joel, we just say Joel. I'm the only one in here without an accent, by the way. Joel said, prophesies, and he declares this under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. How many are thankful for that word from God right there? And I love this prophetic word because we're living in the fulfillment of that word. And I remember preaching just a few years ago in the city of Wellington, New Zealand, which is the furthermost capital city from Jerusalem, where Jesus declared, "You'll receive power to be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I thank God that this message of the baptism in the Holy Spirit has literally reached the entire world. It's a fulfillment of the prophetic word from God. But this was a prophecy by Joel. And he prophesies, he says, "In the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." He says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." I had a dream the other night. I got very afraid. I thought I might be crossing over into a different season of life. And he says, "Even on my servants and my maidservants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days and they'll prophesy." So that was Joel's prophetic word. 830 years later, roughly around that amount of time, following a command from Jesus, there was 120 people who were waiting in an upper room for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's probably my favorite story in Scripture, but I love this story because, firstly, I love that the church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel like Jesus isn't coming back for a church less powerful than the one that he left. I believe he's coming back for a church that's on fire with the power of God. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in some dry, kind of boring, kind of laid back. I want to be in a church where there's some fire in the house, you know. I love a good fire in the house of God. I love it when God's moving. I've seen some videos over the years from this church. This is not your great auntie's conservative Baptist church. This place, when this place gets going, anything can happen. I've seen Olympic athletes do laps around this building. I feel like if I did a lap around this full building, I'd lose 13 pounds, man. You know, I've got to preach. I can't get distracted. I don't get distracted by other people. I get distracted by myself. But the first time I ever walked into this building was in 1993. And Rodney Howard Brown was holding a revival meeting here. And I had to go to the bathroom. And so I feel like we were sitting over there. And so I went off to the bathroom and I walked back in and I'm walking down that aisle from the bathroom and the preacher's preaching and he just stops. And I just came in at the wrong time. It might've been the right time, but it was the wrong time. I'm walking down that aisle. He says, "You," I hadn't even got to my seat. I'd literally walked from the bathroom. And he goes, "Come here, lift your hands to heaven." Boom, the power of God hit me. I hit the floor, didn't really know what had happened, but I know I got up different. And so just when you think it's safe to go to the bathroom in church. But the early church started in the power of God. And Joel prophesies, he says, "In the last days," he says, "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And so if you shoot forward 830 years, you're now in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that they were gathered in an upper room. The Bible says in Acts 2 verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And the Bible says, suddenly, somebody say suddenly. It says, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." I love the suddenlies of God. You might be sick in your body tonight. I'm believing a suddenly from God. God will just shift that in the name. You might be in lack. I'm believing God for a suddenly in the name of Jesus. I don't know how you came in, but I pray you walk out different by the hand of God. Oh man, I'm getting myself happy. Bless God. Aren't you glad Jesus is alive? Man. The Bible says, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, it filled the whole house." That's every room. Some poor guy, maybe someone in the laundry putting on a load of washing. Boom, they fall under the power of God. Their heads catch fire. They have no idea what's happened. The Bible says that the sound of a rushing mighty wind, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And it says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them." I love that it was on each of them. There's a touch for every person. And then the Bible says they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Anyone here filled with the Holy Ghost? And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the ability. This stirs my faith a little bit because that was the first church service. We're given the pattern for church, and that's a move of God. And And so this church service, I'm getting back to Joel's prophecy. Just stay with me for a second. The two of you taking notes already look exhausted. So Joel prophesies. 830 years later, now the fire of God's fallen in that upper room. I don't know what it was like there. I try to imagine it with the eye of faith, but I imagine Peter's there at breakfast, maybe Matthew, maybe Thaddeus. I don't know if Thaddeus, I assume Thaddeus was there, and some of the great people that got healed and different people, and they're having breakfast. And I imagine Matthew maybe looks at Peter and he says, "Hey, Peter, don't move." And Peter says, "Why? Mate, your head's on fire, brother." I don't know. And Peter looks at Matthew and says, "Ruba shaka brapa panda italababa." And then Thomas, he goes, "I'm not sure if this is God. I doubt it." But then the fire of God touches him. And so, man, they're having a revival. Everything starts to happen. I don't know what it was like. I wonder if maybe, and again, I'm making this up. We don't know who was in there fully. We know some people. But I wonder if Lazarus walked up to Peter and said, "Peter, this is the same power that I felt when Jesus said, 'Come forth.'" I wonder if the woman with the issue of blood said, "Peter, this is the same power that I felt when I touched the hem of his garment." Oh, how many know you can still touch the hem of his garment? Because the Bible says the train of his robe fills the temple, man. I flew a long way to come to church tonight. Some of you drove from Broken Arrow. I came from Australia. And so right there, you've got, I assume maybe the woman at the well is in there and she says, "Hey, Peter, this is the living water Jesus is talking about." I wonder if Bartimaeus was there and he's like, "Hey, Peter, we're over here. Hey, Peter," little joke. "Hey, Peter, this is the same power I felt when I yelled out, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" And he says, "Son, your faith is major whole." I don't know. I don't know what it was like in that upper room, but something happened. It was wild. Their heads were aflame. They're speaking in tongues. So they go out into the city of Jerusalem. You know who else was in the upper room, by the way? Mary, the mother of Jesus. People, I tell this at churches sometimes when I preach, and people get a bit nervous. They're just not sure what to do with that information. But it's a fact. It says in Acts chapter 1, she was one of the people that were there. People think Mary would be Catholic. Mary's Pentecostal. Mary's full gospel, man. She speaks in tongues. She got the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I mean, she was anointed. Some people say, "Yeah, but that's because she carried Jesus for 9 months. You and I carry Jesus, man. We have that same anointing. And so Mary's in the upper, it's all happening. So Peter, he takes them out to the streets of Jerusalem. And now the whole city's watching, and people are going, what meaneth this? People are marveling. Some were mocking. Some didn't know what to do. Then they said, "These men are drunk." And Peter stands up and he says, "They're not drunk." Well, actually, he didn't say they're not drunk. He just said, "They're not drunk the way you think they're drunk. They are drunk. They're just not drunk the way you think they're drunk. They've been drinking something very different." And can I say, what they drank that day is on the house tonight. It's happy hour here at Rhema. It's on the house. It's been paid. Jesus picked up the bill 2,000 years ago. And so pandemonium's hitting the streets of Jerusalem. You've got 120 people, heads on fire, drunk in the spirit, speaking in tongues, full of the Holy Ghost, declaring the wondrous works of God in every language known to man. It's all happening. And they're going, "What's happening?" And so Peter stands up. And, oh man, I feel this in my spirit, man. This Holy Ghost power isn't locked up 2,000 years ago. It's what America needs today. It's what Australia needs today. It's what Canada needs today. It's what Mexico needs. It's what the Middle East needs today. We need a revival to touch this world in the name of Jesus. But Peter stands up and he says, "You men of Jerusalem, all you that dwell in Judea," he says, "be this known unto you and hearken to my words." Let me give you the scripture. So this is what he says. He says in verse 15, they're not drunk, of Acts chapter 2, he says, "They're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day." What he's actually saying, they can't be drunk because the place you'd go to get drunk isn't open yet. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And he says this in verse 16, and I'm sure you've heard it preached here, but he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it goes on to say, it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my handmaidens, on my servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Now, let me just try to do my best to explain this. I know I'm yelling a little bit. I'm just a bit excited. I'm sorry about that. I can be boring, but it's better for... praise God. Amen. So Peter stands up and basically he says, this is that. So what he's saying is this, which you see, this power, this anointing, this presence, this supernatural touch of the hand of Almighty God, this fire that's on their head, this heavenly language that you're hearing them speak. He's saying, this which you see, it's from that prophecy that we all heard of from 850 years ago. So he's basically saying, this move of God is that prophetic word being fulfilled right here in our midst. And so if I'm going to abbreviate that just a little bit, just as Peter did, he's basically saying, this is that. This move of God is that prophecy. And so maybe I'm simple, but I can't help but think, well, if this is that, then we need to make sure we've got some of that in our this. I think that makes sense. I'm not 100% sure. But you might be here going, well, I've got this back problem. Well, you need that in your this. I've got this spouse. You need that in your this. I've got this boss that's giving me, you need that in your this. I have this church back at home. I need that in my this. I've got this sickness. Well, let's get that in your sickness. I've got this chat. Let's get that power in that situation. This is that. You know, this without that. Sorry, I'm pointing at nothing. This without that, it's just religion. I've been to a lot of places. I've been to a lot of this's. We need that in our this. See, when I got saved, I was a bad sinner, man. I was lost. My testimony, it was wild. I was 6 when I got saved. Yeah, it's terrible. Man, I had a pass. I think I colored out of the lines and maybe bit my sister, but outside of that, I was... I remember I got saved, but I remember the night I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was a Thursday night service at a revival meeting. And my dad said, do you want to come to the revival meeting or do you want to go to school? And I said, I want to go to the revival meeting. Not because I wanted to go to the revival meeting. It's because I didn't want to go to school. But how many know a good revival meeting goes longer than school sometimes? And I went to this meeting. It was a 5-hour meeting. It was on a Thursday night. And the preacher stops and he looks at me. He says, you come here. He says, lift your hands to heaven. As you do, the fire of God comes upon you. Man, I hit the deck. I'm speaking in tongues. How many have ever fallen under the power of God? Yeah, what a blessing. I love it. Here's the thing. When there's a fire, we were taught in school anyway, you got to stop, drop and roll. So it feels biblical. I mean, David said he makes me lie down. He didn't seem to have a choice. Daniel fell under the power of God. Peter fell into a trance. John fell at the Isle of Patmos. The soldiers came to arrest Jesus. They said, are you the Christ? He said, I am he. Whoa, that was a powerful noise. Some 700 soldiers fell under the power of God. When the fire of God gets on you, something happens. I thank God for the power. I got saved in that. I didn't get some, you know, little safe baptism in the Spirit. I got one of those Holy Ghost Pentecostal ones, man, where I got up, I couldn't speak English to save myself. I was speaking in tongues to anyone that would listen. And I've just said, God, I never want that fire to go out. I want to stay full of the Spirit of God. And the way to stay filled is to keep being filled. I mean, you've been taught that most of what I know about the Holy Spirit I learned from this church. I've heard sermons out of this church that have shaped my life. That you don't get filled once. Peter never got filled once. He got filled again and again. Jesus breathed on him. Then he got baptized in the Spirit in the upper room. Then in Acts 4, he got filled again. Then later in Acts 4 again, he got filled again. Paul preached being filled over and over and over. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. Man, this is how this church started. Peter says, this is that. I pray that we'd have that power. Some of us got filled with the Spirit a long time ago. I pray we'd be full again with a fresh anointing. There's a fresh anointing for every person tonight. You might be visiting. This might be the first time you've been here. Maybe you drove past and thought this passed and pulled in because you thought it was a Bass Pro Shop. I pray you leave fully satisfied by the goodness of God. But Peter says, this is that. I've got a few that's that I want to give you tonight. Just to stir your faith a little bit. Then I'm going to minister to people. But there's a few that's that I'd love you to share with. The first that, number one, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, how many know the scripture? He says, you'll receive, what's that word? Power. Somebody say power. No, you're saying it like Americans. You said power. I said power. Say it like the Queen of England. Power. P-O-W-A-H. Power. He says, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You'll receive power to be a witness to me in Tulsa, in Oklahoma, in America, and to the ends of the earth. And that power that Jesus prophesied fell in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. And I believe if the early church needed the power of the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus himself chose to operate under the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. God wasn't just with him, he's with us as well. I was preaching down in New Orleans a lot of years ago now, after Hurricane Katrina. And Hurricane Katrina really leveled the city in many ways. And what the winds didn't do, the floods made sure they did. And so I was preaching at this church in New Orleans, and the church is Victory Fellowship. And this was maybe 3 weeks after Hurricane Katrina. So it was a pretty crazy scenario. This is a real Holy Spirit, power of God church. And so the pastor said, why don't you come to New Orleans? Because they had hundreds of people serving, helping with relief aid after the services. In the daytime, but there was nothing to do in New Orleans at all. So he said, why don't we do services each night and minister to those that are doing relief aid and those that can get to church? And so I said, I'd be honored to do that. I jumped on a plane and their auditorium is not quite as big as this, but it's still a large auditorium. Maybe the floor is a similar shape to this, but maybe 12 or 1500 seats. And the reason I say that is because the room's like this, so it's easy to explain. It's pews and it's a semicircle like this. And so most of the people that were coming to serve, some came from, you know, Spirit-filled churches, but some came from Presbyterian churches, some came from Baptist churches. And so it was pretty awesome, but it was a bit of a mixed group of people, you know. So Pastor Frank asked me to minister, and I really only have two sermons. And one of them's a sermon on the Holy Ghost, and the other one's a sermon on the Holy Spirit. They're really the only two I have. But it was a four-night revival, you know. So Sunday night, there might have been, you know, a few hundred people, which the place was pretty empty because of Katrina. And at the very back row of the building, there was 12 people from... They were Koreans who lived in New York City, and they were Presbyterians. And so they come along to the service, but they're there to help. They're not charismatic. They're not Pentecostal. They're not They're not full gospel, but they love Jesus. And they're just here to help the city. And so they're at the back. But if you've been to Pastor Frank's church, it's a wild church. You know, they have church like we like to have church. Where the Spirit of God's doing whatever he wants to do. And so I remember ministering to people at the altar. And they're sitting at the back. And they're just like shocked, you know. Like just no words. And that was night one. Night two, they're like maybe three or four rows further forward. Still a little bit, I wouldn't say they were engaged, but they're a bit more. And you could see just a little bit of a shift. Night number three, they're kind of halfway back. And they're like smiling. But on the last night, they're like maybe in the third or fourth row. And during worship, I saw the pastor. He didn't go full hands up, but he went half mast. Or you in America, half mast. I don't know. Does that sound about right? And I thought that's a shift. And during the altar call, you could just see them a bit more open. And I felt the Holy Ghost say, "Pray for them." So I called out the two pastors, the pastor and his wife. I said, "Pastor, would you come?" He comes forward, and I prayed for him. I said, "Father, let the fire of God come upon him." He hits the ground under the power of the Holy Ghost. Then his wife, she hits the ground under the power of the Holy Ghost. I was like, man, we're having a move of God here now. And so I called the 12 that were with them, the 12 Presbyterians from New York, and they came forward. Every one of them is under the power of the Holy Ghost, under the anointing of God. How many know the anointing can do what we can't do? And God touched their heart and touched their life. So we finish service. I go to leave, and the pastor sort of follows me out the door. He hurries to follow me out the door, and he said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "I'd love that." And he says, and he had a grin on his face, like he had something that he'd been working on to tell me. He goes, "Pastor," he said, we came here to New Orleans, Presbyterian." He said, "We're going home, Pentecostal." And man, my right leg started going, you know. I remember the next day I got on the aeroplane to fly up to Dallas. I was sitting in the back of the plane. I didn't have an exit row, Pastor Craig. I was at the back with all the heathens at the back. And I'm in the back row of the back of the plane. I was with a friend of mine, and I got all excited, you know. We're talking about that story. And I didn't mean to do it, but I just shouted. I mean, there's right places to shout and not so right places to shout. Better off not shouting on the aeroplane. They get a bit nervous when you do that, but it just came out of my mouth. Woo! And I'm telling you, that stewardess, she ran to the back of the plane so quick. And she said, "Sir, right now your volume's at a 12. I'm going to have to ask you to make it a 6. You know what I thought? I thought, man, I go to church sometimes. We've been at a 6 too long. We got to jack it up to a 12. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout for just a... We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, man. I still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I still believe that power can heal and set free and deliver and break chains and make the impossible possible. Oh, I thank God that he didn't just save me. I thank God that he didn't just wash me in his blood, but he saw fit to fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost so I can walk around and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Somebody say amen if you believe it. So he's talking about power. I've got another that. The second that is the power of the Holy Spirit. The second one is the fire of the Holy Spirit. We don't know too much about John the Baptist. We know a little bit. We know that he was a relative of Jesus. We know he might have been Jesus' second cousin. Can I come down here and preach? Is that all right? I might need my glasses. I can't see anything. Most of you look a lot better when I have my glasses on. But John the Baptist. We don't know too much about John the Baptist. We know that he wore organic clothing. We know that he ate clean. I feel the fire of God in here, brother. I'm telling you. We know that he ate clean. We know that he was the cousin of Jesus. And we know his denominational affiliation. He was a Baptist. And he wasn't just a Baptist. He was the Baptist. That's a big deal. It's like Pastor Hagen. He's not just a Pentecostal. He's the Pentecostal, right? And so in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist, he gets up and he says, he could have said anything about Jesus, but he chose to say this. He says, I baptize you in water because I'm Baptist. He said, my cousin Jesus, he's Pentecostal. That, this is a David Hall translation, by the way. It's not available in many bookstores, but it exists in my spirit. He says, my cousin Jesus, he's Pentecostal. I baptize you in water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Do you remember back like in the 90s, every conference in America and Australia was like a fire conference? Catch the fire, run with fire, fan the fire, ignite the fire, acquire the fire. And then some of them got a bit weird, so everyone backed off the fire there for a while, and there was quench the fire, stop the fire, too much fire. Somewhere along the way, a lot of places lost the fire. We need that fire. You know, in this building right now, and I'm not speaking this over the place. This place is great, but if this building caught fire, I'm not talking about in the spirit. I'm talking about the kind we don't want. I'm just looking around. There's I see an exit sign down there. There's one up in the balcony. I guess if you take that one, you've got to jump off the roof. I'm curious to see where that one takes you. It could take you anywhere. But you've got that one there. There's an exit sign back there and there. There's one back there. There's another one. There's another one in that balcony as well. So if you're a parachuter, I recommend that. Here's the thing. If there's a fire, I'm running for that fire escape. I'm going to push the women and children out of the way. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I shouldn't have said that. I would let the children through, absolutely. But I'm making a point. I'm still yet to figure out what that point is, but I know I'm making one. There's one there somewhere. Now, I'll tell you what the point is. If there was a fire, like a natural fire, we would all run out, get into the car park, the car park, and get to safety. But do you know what else would happen? The helicopters would start flying over. I don't know what the name of that street is. Is it Kenosha? Look at that, I'm a local. That's what my GPS told me in the car, the girl on Apple. She said Kenosha. I had to drive here. So that's Kenosha. All the cars would slow down. Everybody would be holding their cameras. The helicopters would be flying over going, well, they've declared the fire of God for long enough. It was bound to happen at some time. You know, that's what, and this church would be on the news all over America. The big church is burnt down. They're going to have to buy a third faith shield for the roof. Can I tell you my point? And it's simply this. Either when you come in contact with fire, it's going to compel you to go. Or, depending on your proximity, it's going to compel you to come. There's something about fire. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill. He said, you never have to advertise a fire. Man, if we can get the fire of God on the church, if you and I can be filled with the fire of God, I don't want to just have a prayer language. I want a fire. I want to be alive with the fire of God. Was it Samson who tied 300 foxes' tails together? And one translation says they ran through the city with a sense of urgency. I mean, if God lights our tail, I pray we'd run around America and see God do something in this nation. I'm convinced more than ever. I preach in maybe 40 churches a year, not on Sundays. I preach in my own church most of the time on a Sunday, but I'm in enough places to know one thing. If there's one thing the church needs, it's the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's that supernatural sense of urgency, man. That fire of revival, that fire of joy, that fire of the supernatural, that fire that heals cancer, that fire that'll clear arteries, that fire that'll set captives free. I'm nearly done. I've got one more point. So is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Then there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it changed everything. But I determined to keep coming back to the baptism in the Spirit. I want to stay under that anointing because you can leak, brothers and sisters. I don't know what you're like, but man, I got to really try and stay in the Spirit in traffic sometimes. I know you're all spiritual. I can see the halos. There's so many right around. You get into an airport, you can be changed into another man. Not necessarily a good one either. Circumstances come. Challenges come. Disappointments come. I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. He said, you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I won't say this for too long. I'll wrap it up because I want to pray. I don't know if I'm not sure if it's a brother or a sister playing the keyboard, but a brother keyboard or sister keyboard could come and keyboard. If they're not here, anyone else in the audience, if you know how to play the piano, preferably a Christian song. If you don't know any of those, we'll take the Beatles. It's Wednesday night. I'm kidding. Oh, somebody say our God is an awesome God. Man, I feel the anointing in the house. If you're hungry, just lift your hands and drink for a minute. I've got to finish this and then I'm done. We've got a booking at Buffalo Wild Wings for 8:05, so we've got to get out of here. I only need one keyboardist, but all of you are welcome. They're just leaving. They saw the fire escape and thought, we're getting out of here now. You know, in the ancient Greek, and I'm not an ancient Greek scholar at all, but in 200 AD, a guy wrote a poem in ancient Greek using the two Greek words for baptism, bapto and baptizo. And he wrote a poem, and the poem is about the process of making pickles. Now, you might know this, I didn't know this, but I only have an Australian education. I just thought you got pickles from a pickle plant. You go to Home Depot, do they sell seeds at Home Depot or whatever, wherever you go to get your plants, your seeds, you buy pickle seeds, grow a bunch of pickles and then you... But I didn't know that pickles... Well, God never created pickles. You don't read in Genesis and God said, let there be pickles. And they were, and he saw that it was good. In fact, he ate one. He was so excited. There's no such scripture because pickles, they're actually unbiblical. Pickles are actually cucumbers. How many actually did know that? Yeah, I know. That's because you're American. You know more than we do down there. We live on an isolated island. We only have the internet 1 hour a day. And so he writes this poem about the process of making pickles. Well, pickles were cucumbers that had been baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost down there. But this is how it works. He says, you get the cucumber and you dip it in burning water, hot burning water. And that was bapto. You dip it, softens the skin. Then you take that pickle and you put it in a jar. We say a jar, you'd say a jar. When you say jar, you sound like a pirate in my ears, but you put it in a jar and there's a whole lot of other cucumbers, but it's full of vinegar and the vinegar breaks through the skin and then changes the cucumber. The chemical structure of the cucumber changes from the inside out. It goes from a cucumber to a pickle. And it's scientifically impossible to reverse that and turn the pickle back into a cucumber. I don't want to be a cucumber. I want to be pickled. I want to be changed from the inside out. And that's what happens. When you get into a meeting like this, you can be in the atmosphere. But if you stay in it long enough, what's in here gets in you. When you're filled with the Spirit, you go from being aware of the presence of God, the presence of God being on the inside of you. My prayer tonight is that God's going to touch people with his anointing. Why don't we just for a minute, it's Wednesday night church. Why don't we take a minute and just receive from heaven? Why don't you stand to your feet? We'll close in just a minute. Why don't we lift our hands to the Lord for, just take a bit of time. Let's just be refreshed. Father, let your anointing fill the house. Father, let the touch of your hand fill this place. Father, tonight, let the power of God come. If you're hungry, he'll fill you. Right across the room, ask him to fill you. Just say, Lord, tonight's my night. Father, let your mighty hand come upon people. There's a lady right in front of me. You're wearing like a purple t-shirt. Just come, man. The Spirit of God's going to touch you. There's an anointing. If you're hungry, he'll fill your cup. Just come, sister. Just stand right here. Lift your hands to heaven. As you do, the fire of God comes on you right now. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Take that anointing, sister. This young man right here, just come. Just stand right here. And the brother next to you, just come. And this brother next to you, just come. Lift your hands to Jesus. Mighty men of God, the hand of God's on you. Father, tonight, let the fire of heaven come upon him. Right now, there's his tongue. Fill him, Father, with the anointing. Touch right now. The power of the Master's hand. This young lady with the headband, just come. Just come. Lift your hands to Jesus. What's your name? Kaylee. Father, touch Kaylee. Let your anointing come upon her right now, Jesus. Fill right now with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's it. We go. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In the name of Jesus. You just receive. Here it is. Jesus, fill it. That's it. That's the power of God. If you're hungry, he'll fill you. Right across the room. Jesus, fill it. Fill it. Fill it. Fill it now. Jesus' name. Come, brother. Just come. Lift your hands to Jesus as you do. There's a fire. Jesus' name. Man, this is the Holy Ghost Church. Bless God. Bless God. Just come. Just come. You're Matt's son. Yeah. How you doing? Good to see you. Lift your hands to Jesus, my friend. It's great to see you. Father, touch. Lift your hands to God. Are you studying here?
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's awesome. Yes, sir. How good's that? At Rhema.
Yes, sir.
If you work hard, you might get to take the whole thing over.
Yes.
No, I'm joking. Father, touch him. In the name of Jesus. Lord, he's not here by mistake. He's here by your plan and by your hand. Raise him up. Mark him with the fire of God. Fill him with the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, from his head to his toe, even right now, Father, let your anointing come upon him right now. Power from heaven. That's it. Just take that anointing, my brother. In the name of Jesus. Father, fill the house. In Jesus' name, if you're hungry, lift your hands to him. If you're hungry, he'll fill your cup. He'll fill your cup. Jesus, we love you. We bless you, Lord. Somebody say, the Lord is good. Say it again. Say, the Lord is good. One more time, the Lord is good. Do you believe that tonight? Come on, give him a clap offering. Give him a praise. Tell him you love him. Praise his mighty name. There's none like our God. I'm going to hand right back to Pastor Denise. But just before I do, I just wonder if there's anyone here tonight and you'd say, David, I'm sick in my body. I need a miracle from God. I need a healing. How many know that God is able? In fact, we all know that. We all know God's able, but how many know he's also willing? And I pray tonight, if the anointing's in the house and you touch that anointing in faith, something powerful can happen. I'm believing God, sickness is going to go. Healing's going to happen tonight. Some of you are going to get free from stuff that you've just been carrying for too long. The devil is a liar. Jesus is alive. Just right across this room, if you need a miracle from God, boldly lift your hands to God if that's you, right across the house. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, let the healing power of God fill this place. Lord, we come against sickness and disease. Lord, we break its power. And Father, we're asking for that anointing to come. Fill this building. Lord, come by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we speak to sickness. We speak to disease. And Father, we break the power of that thing right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, just across the house, if you're believing God for a miracle, why don't you take 10 seconds, give him a victory shout tonight and just claim that in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. If you're here tonight and maybe you're here tonight and you've come to service and you're dealing with an impossible situation. It's just a circumstance in front of you that seems impossible. I wonder if you're here tonight and you need God to step into that. I can't step into tomorrow, but God's already there. And I don't know what you're facing. Maybe it's a custody issue with a child. Maybe you've got a business challenge. Maybe there's a legal challenge, but you've got something in your tomorrow and you need God to step into that. I just wonder if you could lift your hands to God. We're going to come into agreement tonight that God's going to turn that around by the power of God. That's a lot of people's hands going up. Father, in Jesus' name, we come into agreement with the Word of God. Lord, I'm asking for that anointing to jump into that situation. Lord, turn it around by your mighty hand. Lord, I'm asking tonight that you do the impossible. Lord God, we speak to this situation that's in front of us. And Lord, we won't forget that the challenge in front of us is no match for the power that's behind us. And Lord, that's the power of God. And Lord, I'm asking tonight in the name of Jesus, do that which only you can do. Turn things around. Make a way where there is no way. And Father, we claim it. We receive it. We call it done tonight in the name of Jesus. And the church said together, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give Jesus a praise. Hallelujah. Bless God.
Well, praise God. Let's give Reverend David Hall a hand. That was amazing. That'll stir you up. Amen. The power and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, our prayer team is coming now. If you have need of anything, if salvation, rededication, want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, our prayer team, I think they're coming. Yeah, come on, prayer team. They're coming down here, the men over here, the ladies over here. They'd love to pray with you and agree with you. Guys, God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you Sunday morning, 9 a.m. for School of the Bible, 10 a.m. here for church. Have a wonderful rest of your week. God bless you.